Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Also, we encourage you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. It is available on both iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. And we also have our podcast page and podcast archive at stevejonesshow.com. 3 months worth of shows there to fall back on whenever you'd like. Sean here with you, and Steve Jones on his way in to the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU, in case I didn't mention that. Lots to get to on today's show. We're talking college football, quite a bit of that. Bill Bender, the national college football writer from the Sporting News. And if you watch a lot of BTN, like BTN Live, you can catch Bill on there from time to time.
Yeah,
so we'll look forward to hearing from Bill today. And one of our favorite Penn State beat writers, Audrey Snyder, will be with us next hour from DK Pittsburgh Sports.
Very nice. All right. So, see how Alabama's got this week.
There's quite a few SEC teams. Including Auburn, right before the week before the Iron Bowl, they always throw in a.
But again, I think this is where, you know, everybody's really good at calling out people for whatever they do. The SEC never gets called out for this joke that they pull at the end of the year, and they do it all the time.
And
I've talked about the brilliance of how they're scheduled, so I've mentioned that how many times on the show now? How brilliant they are at giving the illusion. They give you the illusion they're playing like a 9 or 10 game conference schedule. They give you the illusion because they stagger their conference games all season. Week 2, week 3, there's like one or two, and they bring up Big Mail. Florida's playing Tennessee. You know, it's like the second week of the season, third week of the season. And they do that all the time. And then they pull the post-Halloween joke on you. And this is where it has opened the door. It has opened the door for them to flourish in both the BCS and college football playoff era. You're saying, now why? Because they get to this weekend and they don't have anybody risking anything. You know, a lot of conferences put a lot of big games at the end of the year, some marquee matchups and so forth. Now, obviously, Auburn and Alabama are going to play next week. But, you know, you've got people that have to go out and risk something this week. Not an SEC team. They don't have to risk anything. And it's real. For example, now, it's not a normal year for UCLA. I mean, things have not gone well. But, for example, USC's playing USC this weekend. Okay? So they got to lay it out there on the line and play that game. Now, obviously, USC is not in the running for the college football playoff. But what if they were? What if they were? And they don't have to, you know, they'd have to go out there and risk it based on their conference schedule. Okay? Everybody else is playing conference games this week. Penn State's playing Nebraska. Wisconsin's playing Michigan. All right? Now, a conference race isn't on the line for Wisconsin, but, you know, let's face it, in the college football playoff world, that's a big, big game. Michigan has obviously struggled offensively this year, but Michigan's actually played darn good football since Penn State beat them with complete ease here. The SEC hits this weekend, and they risk nothing. And you know what? And this is where I don't have a vote, but if I did, I'd knock each one of them down one spot for the week.
Mercer at Alabama, Louisiana Monroe at Auburn, Wofford at South Carolina,
right?
Alabama Birmingham at Florida. The other ones are legit teams playing each other, like Mississippi State, Arkansas, Kentucky, right. Georgia, LSU, Tennessee, A&M, Old Miss, and Missouri, Vandy.
But this is what they do.
Yeah. Must be homecoming at Alabama and Auburn this week.
But I would knock each one of them down a peg for doing it.
But yeah, next to last game without fail, I for sure, Alabama every single year for as long as I can remember.
Right. Every year. Now, who pays deep attention to Nick Saban? Dabo Swinney at Clemson. He admits it. Who's Clemson playing this weekend? Look it up. I think it's the Citadel.
I will look it up.
But he's doing the same thing. Same weekend. Amazing. And that, you know, and it, and again, you have found over the years that they've had the ability to schedule this game in such a way where they don't have to risk anything.
Citadel at Clemson, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, and Dabo Swinney follows closely the lead of Nick Saban. He thinks that, you know, the way Saban's doing things, Saban has a great, great track record. I mean, best track record of anybody going right now. So he wants to model as many parts of it as to what he's doing. Well, this is part of the model where you hit this weekend and you're playing this game. Alabama is risking zero this week. In fact, they can rest players like it's a bye week because it's Mercer. And because it's Alabama, they can get away with it, and nobody's calling them on it. And it is an interesting year because I firmly believe that there are no dominant teams in college football this year. You have a group of really, really good teams that are separated by a small margin. And Alabama's one of them. Alabama's really, really good. Okay, Clemson's really, really good. I'll be honest with you, Ohio State and Penn State are both really, really good in that category. Oklahoma's really, really good. Auburn is really, really good.
I guess that's the burning question. I'm glad you brought Auburn up. If they run the table, beat Alabama, beat Georgia a second time, you would think they'd be in the Final Four, right? But then the elitist out there would be like, oh, you can't have a two-loss team in the Final Four.
Right.
Because then you'd have some Big Ten people. Well, what about Wisconsin? What if they run the table undefeated, and what team gets left out?
Well,
would it be Wisconsin?
Well,
could it Wisconsin, be Clemson?
Wisconsin would not be left out as an undefeated team right. with a run. Because, I mean, their run would include, here's how their final three would be. Because Wisconsin has only beaten one team ranked in the AP Top 20 this year. AP Top 25. One. All their other games have been against unranked teams. But that changes this weekend. They've got Michigan. Say they win that. Then next week, they have next week. They have Minnesota next week? I think they have Minnesota next week. All right. Not easy. for Minnesota. They'll beat Minnesota by two touchdowns, at least maybe 17 points.
Yes, Minnesota whiskey next week.
Yeah.
At Minnesota.
And then you're either going to play, I mean, at this hour, it would be Ohio State you'd play in the Big Ten championship game. Well, you will have earned your Spurs, don't you think? So, I mean, that changes. But Auburn, is in a spot between Auburn and Ohio State. I mean, I'd like to see Penn State get back into this conversation a bit, but you might see a two-loss team get into this thing. And as you know, when I was picking games last week, I told you I picked Auburn. I picked Auburn big because I was not a believer in Georgia. I mean, they went to Notre Dame and they won. Okay, what else have they done? I mean, what else has Georgia done? Had a great win against Alabama. No. Okay. Had a great win against Auburn. No. Had a great win against Georgia Tech. No. Didn't play any of those teams. Didn't play anybody. It is not the best year in the SEC. And they have not, they haven't played a great, Georgia has not played a great schedule. They had the one knock, again, how many times have I talked about the Notre Dame Duke syndrome? Right. Allow me to repeat the Notre Dame Duke syndrome. If you beat Duke in basketball, they'll rank you 15th. Yeah, but we're 12 and 14 in the year. No, you beat Duke. You're 15th. Oh, okay. You get a lot of credit for beating Duke. If you beat Notre Dame, how many times have we seen teams Notre Dame beat Notre Dame and vault up the polls? You get way too much credit for doing that. Now, I think Notre Dame is good this year. I was really impressed. I picked Notre Dame to win. I thought Notre Dame was going to win the game with relative ease on Saturday night. Again, it's the one game I lost on the pick 'em thing, right?
Yes.
And I wasn't even close.
Speaking of teams that vault up, obviously.
But you see what I'm saying? I mean, really, everyone that really follows sports, think about this. Every time a team beats Duke in college basketball, oh, how about that? Oh, hey, ooh, hey, check that. Remember one year Virginia Tech beat Duke at home? And Dick Vitale's going on and on and on with Seth Greenberg about, this puts you in, you're in, you're in. And guess what? They didn't win down the stretch, and they, yay, didn't make it. Right? Notre Dame. Last year, Michigan State got to third in the nation by beating Notre Dame. And I told you at the beginning of last season, remember the team I labeled would be the one that they would be no better than a 500 team? I said it was going to be Michigan State. This was a year ago. And they beat Notre Dame. They're ranked third. I remember when they did it, I looked at Jack. I go, great, Notre Dame syndrome. I said, they'll be in the top five. I mean, Jack and I were both kidding around about Ohio State. Ohio State won last week over, who they beat up last week? Oh, Michigan State. They beat Michigan State last week. We were both kidding that would put them to fourth. It's like, because we think, you know, you got to think the way some of these people think. Some groups get much more credit than they deserve.
So speaking of the Notre Dame syndrome and vaulting up, we'll catch the new college football playoff numbers tonight.
Miami will be two tonight.
I was just going to ask you that because of beating Notre Dame, ironically enough.
Yeah. They're undefeated, and they beat Notre Dame. I'm just telling you. I just think I think they'll be 2 tonight. Clemson will be 3, and Oklahoma will be 4. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Wisconsin might be 5.
I was going to say that'd be your first team out looking in.
Wisconsin. Because you can't put Miami out. They just beat Notre Dame. Yeah, can't put Clemson out. They're Clemson. Can't put Oklahoma out. They beat Ohio State. In fact, I wouldn't doubt that Ohio State's 5 and Wisconsin is 6.
So they always list those, you know, two little teams looking in, you know, 5 and 6. Would Notre Dame
do you think
Notre Dame would be 6?
No. No. Notre Dame's going to fall like a rock.
Yeah.
No. They're going to fall like a rock. I think Penn State's going to be 11. I think Ohio State will be 7 or 8. How about that?
So would Georgia fall to 6?
Georgia's going to fall probably to 9 or 10. Georgia's going to take a big fall. They got crushed.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd put them behind Penn. I think Penn State's better than they are. I put Penn State in front of Georgia. But they're not going to because of a one-loss team versus 2. Yeah. That's just my opinion. As to what they'll do with this thing. But again, let's go back to the SEC for a moment. And I've talked about this for 2 years now on the show. To the point where now the audience can recite what I'm going to say. But they are brilliant as to how they schedule. They make you think there is something awesome going on every week in the conference when there's one awesome thing going on in the conference every week, maybe 2, and no more than that. And now you get to this weekend where they allow Auburn and they allow Alabama to schedule way under the radar, where basically they've got glorified scrimmages and bye weeks before they play each other next week in the Iron Bowl. This played a big role in LSU and Alabama playing each other in the BCS title game a couple of years ago because, again, neither one had to risk anything late in the season. Alabama finally did when they had to play Auburn. In fact, that year, Alabama didn't even play in the SEC championship game. Alabama in 2010 did not win its division, did not win its league, and won the national championship. How about that? Now, that's a flawed system. No flaws here. We've got Sean. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Keep your cash this Christmas. Sunbury Motors Kia is going to light up the holidays. Light up the holidays with Sunbury Motors Kia. Brand new 2018 Kia Rios start at just $15,955. Sunbury Motors Kia is your Kia Sorento headquarters with 28 brand new 2018 Kia Sorentos starting at $23,921. Sunbury Motors Kia has 2018 Kia Optimus discounted $2,440, priced all the way down to $21,570. SMC is going to light up the holidays with huge discounts, aggressive trade values, and the best financing from Kia. 0% financing for 60 months on 2018 Kia Sorentos. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Keep your cash this Christmas with the help of Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf, lighting up the holidays for you and your family.
Tax and tax extra. Offer expires 11/30/17. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And very pleased to bring in Bill Bender. Sporting News. Bill, always a pleasure. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. How you doing, man?
I'm doing really well. Okay, it's talking earlier about how clever the SEC is with scheduling, because essentially Auburn and Alabama have scheduled themselves bye weeks coming up this week. Is it something that the SEC should be called out on, or why does it fly so far under the radar?
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous in this day and age that they get the warm-up week, basically. I heard somebody call it Wedding Saturday last week. I got a kick out of that one. If you look at it, though, like, in theory, Penn State-Nebraska should be a huge game this weekend. It's not, because Nebraska hasn't lived up. But, I mean, in the Big Ten, you do have Wisconsin-Michigan this weekend in a huge game. And I think, when you have that, yeah, you should be playing a real opponent this weekend.
In some way, shape, or form, because I feel like in the SEC, and I went back to 2010, for example, you kind of felt like that kind of weekend kind of helped out Alabama, LSU get to the BCS championship game against each other, because late in the year they weren't risking anything.
Right, and you get an extra week for a school like Alabama, who clearly has some injuries on the defensive side of the ball that they're feeling out. They get in a kind of a dramatic game with Mississippi State, and you have a week to kind of catch your breath. And that's no disrespect to Mercer, but we know what's going to happen there Saturday. So now they get to prepare for an Auburn team who looked pretty good. And I here's one thing I kind of alluded to last week, and I'll see if you agree with me. Auburn's probably in the best position of all these two-loss teams, but I don't know how much better Auburn really is than, say, Michigan in the Big Ten East.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. See, when you look at Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, I think they're all better than Auburn. But they beat Georgia by positioning and schedule and luck of the draw late. And Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State, of course, were going at each other. And Michigan still has to play Ohio State.
Right, and that's part of the problem here. I mean, Penn State was asked to do something I think maybe only Alabama could do. And that was beat Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State in three straight weeks. And I really think Alabama is probably the only team in the country that could get up for those three type of styles and maybe win all three. So, where Penn State's sitting, they're kind of landlocked. If you're a Nittany Lions fan, I think you're rooting for Michigan the next 2 weeks, quite honestly, because they can bust up Ohio State, they can bust up Wisconsin, and then Penn State would be sitting there as maybe the only two-loss team aside from Michigan, but they have the head-to-head.
Right. See, and Auburn's in a spot where, because of scheduling with Georgia, essentially they've scheduled a bye week this week. Say they do great against Alabama. Now, you're sitting there as a two-loss team after the SEC championship game. They might get in as number four.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's really strange, is that Auburn tonight, when the rankings come out, will probably be the first two-loss team ranked. I don't think that's a big surprise. It will be interesting to see if they put Georgia in front or behind them. And I know the logic both ways, because I still look at Auburn as a team that's very hot right now, and I get that. But they also lost a 20-point lead to LSU. And here's the thing I think the committee is doing maybe a little bit overboard on, is they're looking at who teams beat, and it seems like they don't care, one, that they lost, two, that they lost multiple games, and three, how or who they lost to.
Right. And that's, I think, part of the flaw of this. I mean, what I always find interesting is when I hear the head-to-head argument, and I understand that there are a lot of different metrics that go into it, but to me, in the end, if you beat them, does it mean, on that particular day, weren't you better?
Right, and that was one thing right off the go that I was actually surprised that they put Oklahoma ahead of Ohio State off the go. I was thinking they may put Ohio State ahead of them despite the Sooners head-to-head. And that's the one thing to look for down the line with Ohio State and Penn State, is Ohio State does have that head-to-head. They probably will go into Indianapolis. They obviously played angry last week. But it's just a strange world we live in, Steve, where, if you look at the picture, Auburn blew that 20-point lead. Ohio State got beat by 31 at Iowa. And right. They look like they have the best pass of the Big Ten teams other than Wisconsin.
Right, and that's the now this extends back into last year. But you look at Ohio State, they're 10-3 in their last 13 games. All three losses were blowouts, including two this year. I mean, the Oklahoma game was not a close game.
No, it's really an amazing thing when you consider Ohio State. But the two programs that I think position themselves the best every year, and it's interesting you brought that up, because there was a lot being made of this stat that Nick Saban was the last person to beat Alabama by 17 points, essentially, when he was at LSU. Well, Nick Saban hasn't lost a game by more than 17 points in college since his last year at LSU. And Dabo Swinney hasn't lost a game by more than 17 points since 2014. And those are the two most consistent programs in the country right now. And I think both of them, you know, as I look at the board, and I don't know what this is going to do, positive or negative for college football, at the end I see Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, and Ohio State, and they've all been there and done that, and I think that's what the playoff's going to be.
Right, and that's interesting because, and I brought this up earlier about Clemson, Dabo Swinney watches Nick Saban closely. You and I both know that, Bill. Who do they play this weekend? Citadel.
Yeah, they've got another tune-up game before a big rivalry game with South Carolina, and what's probably going to be a play-in game with Miami. I was down at Miami-Notre Dame last week, and I'll tell you right there, that was an eye-opener for me because I didn't think Miami was that good. They are. They're fast, and Mark Richt really has them ahead of schedule. I don't know if there was a better career move for him than leaving all that pressure at Georgia and then going to somewhere that he could resurrect that quickly in Miami.
It's remarkable because, you know, we do picks every week, and, like, you know, you and I both know that, you know, they're all darts in the wind. And I picked Notre Dame because I really thought Notre Dame would win. And I thought they'd win by 10 to 14 points in that game. I just thought more physical and so forth. Bill, I was struck by two things, Miami's athleticism and also by the enthusiasm of the crowd. You were there. What struck you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little young for the old Orange Bowl, but I'm sure that's what it felt like. You know, the atmosphere was swirling. They were out in the parking lot at 3. They were ready to go. and like you said, the speed, the athleticism, the dominance up front. Because, you know, when you take a Notre Dame team that had averaged over 300 yards rushing per game, and Miami kind of smacked them around a little bit. I did say this. I don't think any team in the FBS is having more fun right now than Miami. And I know a lot of the tension's on that turnover chain, but you can just sense it from the players, from the coaches. That team's playing with a lot of confidence.
And you and I both know that's all the difference of the world, because for Penn State last year, when they beat Minnesota after the September 2-2, to a man, they'll tell you their confidence level changed by winning that game, and confidence, you and I both know, means everything.
It does. And, you know, with that team, it will be interesting to see. I am intrigued by that one. I think before last weekend, the conference championship game I was most intrigued by, like everybody else, was probably Georgia-Alabama. But right now, I mean, just kind of looking at how I think it's going to shake out, Georgia-Alabama will be big, and Wisconsin and whoever they play will be big. But Clemson-Miami, you kind of wonder, is this the U really going to be back? Whereas, you know, at the Big Ten, you're going to get an Ohio. I still think with the Big Ten, and I got a couple arguments at work about this, whoever the Big Ten East champion is going to be favored in that game.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely they will be. I mean, look, I think Wisconsin has played one ranked team so far in this run to get to this point. You and I both know there's the incredible imbalance, and it's just the way circumstances are right now, between playing the West and playing the East. I mean, when the East crosses over to play the West, I mean, the East, for the most part, has had its way with Western Division teams.
Well, and the top of the East has had its way with the bottom. So you're dealing with, it's almost like a catch-22 for the Big Ten, that you have, I can't remember a time since Penn State joined in 93 where those four schools, who are four of the five best programs in the conference, have been up and running. They're really good. I would say all four are really good. Michigan State hasn't gone away. It's been a great turnaround. Michigan's really good. Michigan's good enough to beat Wisconsin and Ohio State the next 2 weeks. I still think they're going to get one of them.
Agreed.
And then Ohio State and Penn State doing what they're doing. So I think there are three rules now. You can only lose within those four teams. You can't lose a non-conference game. And you really can't lose a crossover game if you're one of those four teams, if you're serious about making the playoff.
All right. Tennessee, Butch Jones, as expected, is out. They have a rabid fan base, which you and I can discuss maybe another time about how realistic their expectations are. But, you know, what do they need to do with Tennessee with this particular hire?
They're in a tough spot. They don't have like that messiah candidate like Michigan had or Miami had, or you know, even if the reports about Chip Kelly in Florida are true, that's an interesting hire as well. But Tennessee, I think their move is to go after Scott Frost, even though Nebraska is going to probably take him. And if that doesn't happen, I think you almost have to go for like a Mike Norvell, somebody like that. It's not going to wow the fan base, but there just isn't a home run candidate for that particular school. I mean, they always bring up John Gruden, but you would have to have the largest spring truck ever to even have it to entertain that discussion.
Exactly right. And what's interesting is that a lot of the hot names in the last 5 years have not maintained room temperature. Cliff Kingsbury, Dino Babers, people like that. I mean, they're all fighting just to get into bowl games with their teams right now, so the hot guy isn't out there.
Right, and Mike Griffith, a good friend of mine from SEC Country, he covers Tennessee, he was posing Jimbo Fisher, and I thought, at first I kind of swatted it away, but you know what? Could add up. I mean, it would allow him to get out of Florida State, which he has flirted with LSU in the past, and Tennessee fans will take that. I mean, if the SEC East went from having just Kirby Smart to adding Chip Kelly and Jimbo Fisher, I think that certainly would say something about a conference that over the last few years has been Nick Saban and Alabama and everybody else.
This is not a defense of Butch Jones in any way, shape, or form, but it brings up the coaching turnover that's happened in the SEC because of expectations and Alabama and the Alabama syndrome. Do SEC schools play into Saban's hands when they change coaches as often as they do? Because you and I both know that you're not quite starting from square one, but maybe from square two.
Well, yeah, and I think it's been one thing with the Big Ten. When Urban Meyer was hired, teams had to catch up a little bit, and you're seeing it a little bit. I mean, Ohio State still has, you know, the best recruiting base right now, but Penn State and Michigan have been able to gain a little bit of ground, and Michigan State's still doing well. I mean, it's not like it's Ohio State and everybody else in the Big Ten. Alabama, I've never seen anything like it, where a coach has basically had so many coaches fired indirectly because of him. But, I mean, Les Miles, for example, won 78% of his games, lost 6 in a row to Alabama, out the door. I mean, it is amazing the number of coaches, like you said, the turnover in that conference. And I think it forces those ADs into some tough decisions, because do you spend a bunch of money on a guy, or do you kind of wait Nick Saban out? I mean, I don't think he can live forever, but I could be wrong there.
That's a really interesting question. How long can you wait this guy out?
Right, because I think he's got 4 or 5 left, at least, with the recruiting he's done. He's never satisfied. I've never seen a dynasty quite like this that has so little flair but still goes out consistently and grinds out victories every single season.
Well, you know what? This will be the final. I know I have to let you go. But that I find interesting. When you think about how they have played offense during the run there, they're a real no-nonsense, not really exciting group that just keeps, okay, we're winning, we're winning, we're winning.
And the most amazing thing to me is they seem impervious to the upset. You know, when there's a weekend where 3 or 4 top 10 teams go down, Alabama could have been one of those teams last weekend. What do? They just take a late touchdown drive, Jalen Hurts makes the play, and then I'm getting texts from buddies asking me if they're ever going to lose a game. And they're, you know, admittedly Big Ten fans. So it's just, like I said, not the flair of Miami, not the running game of a USC dynasty. Just it's almost like it's so comparable to the Patriots in the NFL, and maybe you and I can get into that next time I come on.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great point, because I think what separates Alabama and the Patriots from their respective is they're the ones that play usually the smartest game. You don't see them taking a stupid penalty. You don't see them turning the ball over 4 times in a game. You always see them winning field position, and they usually have at some point or another the best player on the field.
and they don't beat themselves. And that's really basic football. And, you know, programs do it better. But I would like to see a little flair in the playoff. Would like to see something different. But, I mean, if we end up with Alabama Clemson 3, that's on the rest of the programs in college football to, you know, find a way to catch up.
Great point, Bill. A real pleasure. I can't wait to talk with you again.
Oh, anytime. Thanks so much for having me on.
Bill Bender, Sporting News. See him on BTN as well. He does terrific work. We will come back. Audrey Snyder next half hour. Coming up on Thursday, Merrill Reese will be on the show. Boy, think about Thursday. Merrill Reese. We have Zach Showers on, of course, again.
That's right.
And maybe a recap from the suit.
Oh, well, maybe? Hmm.
What do you think? Merrill Reese and the suit on the same show.
Wow. Business is booming.
That really didn't sound enthusiastic.
I'm trying to buy in.
Well, during the commercial break, work on that. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Audrey Snyder, next half hour. Yeah. There's so many issues to talk about with college football. Now, college football creates more conversation than any other sport because of the system that they have. So it creates conversation about schedules, inequity of conference schedules, non-conference schedules, where positioning of schedules, how many teams make the playoff, the fact that there are five conferences, the fact there are only four spots. I mean, you think it goes on and on. Two lost teams, resumes. It's amazing the amount of conversation that college football can create. And here's Penn State and Ohio State. And I firmly believe that Penn State and Ohio State are both better than Auburn, both better than Georgia, both better than Miami. They're both better than Notre Dame. You know, I'm sure you get some Notre Dame fan go, oh, no, look at her. You know, believe me, you got exposed. you flat out did. And you finally faced a team with some athleticism, and it just took you apart. And I think they're better than all those teams I just mentioned. Those two teams are better than all of them. Now, I think Ohio State or Penn State head-to-head with Clemson probably is an even game. Excuse me. Now, Oklahoma, I'm not bringing them into the conversation because Oklahoma went to Ohio State and won impressively. So I'm not going to include them in that part of the conversation because Ohio State took their shot at them at home, no less, and Oklahoma won with ease. That's why I'm not going to bring them into the conversation. But when it comes to Miami, Georgia, TCU, Auburn, Wisconsin. Penn State would beat Wisconsin. Ohio State would beat Wisconsin. I think Michigan's going to beat Wisconsin. It's not going to help the Big Ten, but I think Michigan's going to go up there and win. But I think Penn State and Ohio State are both better than all those teams I just mentioned. But subjectively, we can give our opinions on anything when we don't really know. But it's just my gut feeling of watching all the teams that Penn State and Ohio State are better than many in that group.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.